Welcome to the WIHS Journal. On today's broadcast, we'll be speaking to Tom Ackerman. He's the author of A Guideline to Christian Marriages. It's called Get Married, Save the World. Join us next for all the details. Tom, tell our listeners, you know, what inspired you to write the book?
Sure, great. Yeah, actually, the title is Get Married and Save the World.
Okay.
And really, there were two main things that really got me started. One was a young man that I knew who made a woman with child out of marriage, and it looked like they were going to keep going like many do and not get married. I spoke to that young man, and I told him about the importance of getting married and caring for the woman and caring for his new baby, little baby girl that was coming. And I told him that, you know, this is a righteous thing to do, and we need men to be righteous. And it sounds like he received it well. Their story's still ongoing, and I don't know I don't know the final end result. But he sounded like he received it well, and I still pray for them both. And that young man and his situation is what really sparked me to sit down and write the book. But so is also the number of people that I know or that I see in the churches who really get advice from very liberal and ungodly, you know, liberal and very ungodly advice about marriage. And I see so many people who are misled by hearing false teachings on marriage that I really have a fire in my heart to write on the subject. And I really set the book up completely around the main teachings in the New Testament. The main instructional teachings, each chapter is rooted in one of them. So it focuses on those. It focuses on what God wants us to do in marriage. But it also contains other things such as just common practical advice, how to apply it to our lives, and you know, a bit of spiritual allegory as well. There's a scriptural outline at the end of the book that really goes over the entire scriptural framework.
Okay, great. So you said the title was Get Married, Save the World.
That's
why
right.
Why a title like that?
Great. Well, yeah, that title actually, you know, I wasn't expecting it. It's just a name that came to me at night, like a lot of good ideas come. And I knew it was the right title immediately. It was never in doubt, and I believe the Lord gave me that title. And, you know, Get Married and Save the World cuts to the heart of what I am trying to say and the message that's there. And it really carries, I guess, two meanings in one. Marriage, so to speak, saves the world because it pictures salvation. It pictures the Savior, Jesus Christ, and the special people that he is choosing to himself and that he washes clean. And it leads souls to believe in Christ. It raises children up to know Christ. And secondly, I call it Save the World because of the incredible blessings that come out of the union of the woman and the man, the peace there between man and wife, and for the children, the faith and the virtue that we instill in children, and the societal peace that having loving, stable families is documented to bring. And, you know, at a time in history where you can watch nations being replaced by Muslims or Hindus or replaced within by secular humanism, you know, the destruction that has come from abandoning the family is just right before our eyes. And I'd say so is the life-giving and healing power that the family has. It should be obvious to us. And, of course, only Christ saves the world because none of us could atone for sin or lead the perfect life. But marriage pictures Christ, and it points to him, so it's greatly blessed by God.
I was looking at, you know, some of the chapters and sections in your book, and
yes.
You know, the salvation vessel, the suitable helper, keeper of the home, one flesh unto death. Talking about the suitable helper, about the submission. Some of us wives have a hard time still doing that one, but I love the chapters that you have. So, you know, in this contemporary view of why do you think marriage reflects the nature of God so much?
In what way does it reflect the nature of God? That's great. Yeah, you know, I talk about that in a couple of different places in the book. Actually, I get into that subject in different ways. In the most simple, plain way, I'd say it portrays the Holy Trinity. It portrays the nature of God, and I think that's why it can lead people to faith, that marriage and the family can lead people to faith, because it reflects the unity and love and the pillar of authority, which is in the Trinity. And, you know, much of this in the Bible you can see between John chapter 14 and 17. And just as Ephesians 5 teaches that man and wife are like Christ and the church, and in John's gospel, you know, Jesus teaches that father and son reflect Christ and the church. So we understand that the relationship there between God the Father and God the Son sets a pattern for Christ and the church, which sets a pattern for husbands and wives. And the husband, of course, portrays God the Father in part in his headship, and also in pouring out his life to his beloved wife, just as the Father commands the Son and also shares his glory with the Son, I would say shares his life essence with the Son also. The wife reflects God the Son through her humility and her obedience to her husband. And just as from the unity of God the Father and Son comes forth the Holy Spirit, so in the life-giving union of man and wife come forth children. And just as the will of God the Father passes through the Son and Holy Spirit, so the will of the husband is done by his wife and then children. And it's interesting, the Holy Spirit is there to guide the church on in truth throughout the ages, and our children also are our expression of truth far into the future. And marriage reflects the nature of God also in the unity that is to exist, just as Father, Son, and Spirit are one. They share that love, they share glory, the Father glorifying the Son and the Son glorifying the Father. So man and wife and children share in love and in honoring each other, say, in a unique way. And the wife honors her husband as the leader. The husband honors his wife as the weaker vessel. So just as people can see God's love and nature in the church, if we're faithful, they can see God's love and nature in the home when we're being Amen. Faithful through that love, unity, and pillar of authority. And just one more thing that, you know, I've been thinking even after I wrote the book, that, you know, we really are one, and God makes us one. And he says that very clearly. And we're not just one in a hammered flat kind of way. We're one through the channel of right relationships, through the headship that is there and through the interpersonal sharing of love. You know, a lot of people, they want to leap out of their skins and just melt into some ocean of love. They start to get the feeling that their bodies are bad, or if they could just escape themselves, they would feel better. They want to melt into an ocean of love. But the Christian doesn't do that. He doesn't have to jump out of his flesh, because we become one through right relationships, just as the Trinity is perfect relationship.
Amen. Well, thank you for that. You're never a loss for words. I just ask you a question and you take off. You take off like a machine gun. That's good. So it kind of gives the listeners an idea of how your writing is. So how is the book set up? Is it an easy read? Is it thick? Is it a soft cover, hard cover?
Sure. Oh, by the way, I do have notes in front of me. I'm not usually that talkative, but thanks. Yeah, it is a soft cover. It is fairly long. Over 400 pages and about a 7-inch by 10-inch size. I don't think it's a hard read at all. I mean, the text isn't very large, and I think the writing style is not, you know, I don't write in an especially technical way. I might use occasional theological language, but otherwise it's in almost a conversational way. And it really interweaves some of those scriptures and theology with just personal stories and common sense advice, and there's, and like I said, a number of helpful resources at the end. I include appendices at the end for more, say, learning resources on those subjects. I have ed notes at the end of each chapter that include some, but not all of, you know, the facts, document some of the facts that I brought up, and also just add a little extra commentary. But so it's pretty long, but I don't think it's difficult to read at all.
Tell our listeners the name of the book again and how they can get a copy.
And the name of the book is Get Married and Save the World. They can go to zulonpress.com. That's the publisher, xulonpress.com.
Once again, that was the author, Tom Ackerman, of the book. It's a guideline to Christian marriages called Get Married, Save the World. For more details, call WIHS at 860-346-1049. The opinions expressed are those of the participants, not necessarily those of a staff in management. Amanissa Porticelli, the WIHS Journal, is public affairs from WIHS, Middletown, Pennsylvania.